right now, though, joining me live, and he's also on the schedule. And it's good to have you here live, Matt.
Hey, Tony, it's great to be here. See you in person.
Yeah, Matt Rostra. It's been a while.
It's like old times.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah.
All right. How's he doing? Kirk, Matt Rothschild is here from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and they just came out with a statement 2 days ago. Well, I guess you were lamenting the spending in the gubernatorial race, which broke all kinds of records. Right?
Well, it's just kind of shocking. $164 million spent here in Wisconsin in the governor's race, shattering the old record by more than 75%, and it's more than double what it was in 2014. I mean, the crazy thing is that the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Tony, we track, and not me, I'm just the blabbermouth, but the staff tracks this money in politics, both the money spent by the campaigns and the money spent by outside groups. And every race we look at, records are being shattered. And this one was just kind
of in Wisconsin or everywhere?
Well, we just look at Wisconsin, and in Wisconsin, it's just an astronomical increase in the spending for every race. But this governor's race shattered the $100 million mark. The previous record was $93 million from 2018. This time it was $164 million. So it's just an astonishing leap. It's a huge number. And then I got, interestingly, a message on my phone from a friend who said, yeah, I heard about all this money being spent, but what's the big deal? Isn't it good for our economy? There's more money being spent in Wisconsin. And I said, well, look, all this outside money and all the big money is drowning out the voices of regular people who are listening to the show right now in their kitchen or in their car or in their office. They know, we all know, that we don't have an equal voice with the millionaires and the billionaires. And our politics shouldn't be a tug of war between some billionaires on the left and billionaires on the right. We all should have an equal tug on the rope, and everyone knows we don't. So that's one of the problems. The other problem with all this money is a lot of the money's coming from out of state. And so what does that mean as far as, you know, having self-rule here in Wisconsin? And why should a multi-millionaire or billionaire in New York or Nebraska or California or anywhere tell us who should be our governor?
Well, Matt, the funny thing about this whole spending is that actually the Democrats actually got more money from outstate than the Republicans. And Republicans are the ones who opened the floodgates, if you will. And now they're a little bit surprised. And,
yeah, I mean, this
and
is...
if you listen to the Republican chair, he's like, well, we can't. Hollywood is sending money, which actually is good. You know, we needed that money, right? Did Evers need that money to win? If he didn't have that money, would he have lost?
Probably did. I mean, he did a great job. His campaign did a great job. Ben Wickler at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is doing a great job as far as tactically running a campaign with the rules that are given to them. But the rules, as you're suggesting, Tony, were made by the Republicans and by the U.S. Supreme Court. And the rule change in 2015 here in Wisconsin that Scott Walker and the Republican-dominated legislature rammed through, and I was there in the gallery when they passed the sucker.
So was I.
Said that they were going to just tear down the ceiling on what any individual could give to political parties. The ceiling used to be $10,000. And now the sky's the limit. And so, you know, multi-millionaires, whether Democrats or Republicans, are giving seven-figure checks to the Democratic Party or Republican Party. And it just turns out that Ben Wickler's better at his job than his counterparts over at the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
Or there's a lot of people... you could say there's a lot of people around the country and the world, I suppose. We can take money from, like, international sources, too, really?
Not supposed to.
Oh,
it's
really?
Illegal.
Okay.
But I think the point you're making, and I got this from a person who communicated to me on email, who may even be a member of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, I don't think so, who said, well, why are you criticizing out-of-state money? I said, because it interferes with our ability to self-govern here in Wisconsin. But the person said, look, we're in a hyper-partisan situation in this country. Wisconsin's one of the few remaining purple states. Whoever wins as governor in Wisconsin or secretary of state or attorney general in Wisconsin may have some say over how fair the rules are in 2024 and what happens to Wisconsin's electoral college votes. So maybe anyone interested in politics nationally should be concerned about what happens in Wisconsin.
You're right. I mean, it really matters here. And of course, with the upcoming Supreme Court race, which we're going to talk about, well, right now, I guess, the big issue is a gerrymandered and a redistricting, and if we had fair maps in Wisconsin, chances are the Republicans would not be in control of the House of Representatives right now nationwide, actually. We're talking, what are we talking, of six seats or four seats Republican, two Democratic now, where they could actually, if we had fair maps, Wisconsin would have a majority Democrats representing in the House of Representatives, right? So, well, I mean, that's big. And then
certainly would be
McCarthy
possible.
Wouldn't be in power.
Well, so, and also, I mean, that the national Democratic strategist screwed up in the Van Orden race up in the La Crosse area because...
Well, we just got a question here from our good friend Charlie about Van Orden outspending Pfaff.
Yeah, because the National Democratic Party pulled something like $2 million in advertising in the last 6 weeks there, and Pfaff barely lost to Van Orden, who was at the January 6th insurrection.
You're right.
So, I mean, there were a lot of tactical blunders. And there were tactical blunders in the Mandela-Barnes race that we could talk about from, you know, six ways to Sunday here. But as far as the outside money, I mean, then you got to ask yourself, how come all these records are being broken? One is this hyper-partisan climate that we live in. Another is Citizens United. And the U.S. Supreme Court in 2010 said corporations and the super rich can give as much as they want to tell us who to vote for or who not to vote for, as long as they're not coordinating with the candidates, and that definition is pretty loose. And so that opened the floodgates. And then in 2014, another U.S. Supreme Court decision, the McCutcheon decision, that said super rich individuals can't have an aggregate limit imposed on them like was done in McCain-Feingold, because the First Amendment rights of super rich people are being interfered with if they can't spend more than $200,000 on an aggregate level. On election races all across the country. So you know, that was another reason why we're seeing all this money here. I'm right now, literally the sky is the limit as far as how much a rich person who likes to play in the political playground can throw their money around.
Or a million poor people like me.
Well, yeah.
Can throw down $10 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Bernie Sanders strategy, which is a way to get around the super influence of the handful of billionaires that are really... you know, splattering all that mud on our screens at election time.
All right. Well, Wisconsin Supreme Court race is coming up. Do we expect to see the same thing, a repeat of outside money coming into that race?
Oh, I think so. You know, Pat Rogensack is retiring. When she ran 20 years ago, there was only $27,000 spent in her first race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Now I imagine there'll be maybe $20 million spent by outside groups. Who knows? I mean, the last record was $5 million, but the heat is so hot right now for this race, I wouldn't be surprised if it doubled or multiplied by four. And yes, I'm quite certain we're going to have a record here of spending, outside spending, spending by the candidates, spending by the parties on this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. And let's remind listeners how important it is and that there's a primary February 21st. It's important because with Rogensack stepping down, she's one of the arch conservatives. She wanted to, side with Trump in the Trump versus Wisconsin case and throw out some votes. With her getting off the court, there will be three conservatives and three liberals. So whoever wins this race will determine the ideological balance of the court. And that's huge. And yes, you had mentioned gerrymandering. The court last time had a terrible ruling on gerrymandering, requiring the legislature to use maps that were as close as possible to the old rig maps of 2011. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Voss did that. And ultimately, those were the maps that the Wisconsin Supreme Court rubber stamped. It's possible if a new justice who's dedicated to fairness and believes that the maps are rigged, that justice would agree with the other liberals on the court to rehear a case on gerrymandering and tell the legislature to redraw the maps the maps themselves.
You're right, and we actually don't have to wait 10 years for the next census to redraw the maps. It can be brought up at any time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine that there'll be some, legal groups and other plaintiffs who will say, look, our rights have been violated under the Wisconsin Constitution under these unfair maps. Bring a case to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and then the Wisconsin Supreme Court would have to hear that case if a majority of the justices agree. And then the justices could say, yeah, these maps are depriving people of Wisconsin of equal representation. The will of the people is being interfered with here by these rigged maps that favor one party. And you got to either redraw the maps or we'll redraw them for you.
All right. So what, I mean, What are you going to do?
I want everybody listening to vote in the primary on February 21st and then vote on April 4th. You know, these are non-presidential races, obviously. These are spring races. Turnout usually is low. If turnout is high here in Dane County, you know, Dane County carried the day for Evers. It was you and Dane County who got Evers reelected. And people in Dane County can have a huge say over who sits on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and what decisions are made, not only on gerrymandering, but on the abortion issue. I mean, right now, you know, Josh Call's got a case in the courts already about abortion, about the 1849 law, saying that it shouldn't be in effect because there have been subsequent laws passed on abortion rights that should make that ancient law obsolete. This law, I don't need to remind your listeners, Tony, says that abortion's illegal in Wisconsin, even in cases of rape and incest. Mm-hmm. And that case will go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So if abortion rights is a big issue for you, you got to vote in this primary on February 21st and in the big finals election, April 4th.
What about the strategy of counting just Dane County? As we saw a couple of weeks ago, I had Bruce Murphy on from
Urban Milwaukee,
right? And we're talking about Spindell and the Republicans gloating about the fact that they were able to disaffect so many people in the Milwaukee area that, you know, a good 30,000 or so people did not vote. And they specifically said blacks and Chicano
and
people.
This was about that.
So what about
one of the most outrageous things, Tony, that I've ever heard out of an official here in Wisconsin? Robert Spindell is one of the six commissioners on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Actually, there's a meeting at 9 this morning that I'm going to attend, and I'm going to give him an earful.
That's why I got to leave here at 10 to 9
because I've got to get on that Zoom. But and there's some public comment. I hope they'll give me an opportunity to say my two bits. And one of the two bits is that Robert Spindell should resign. This comment he made to fellow Republicans in the Milwaukee County area, which Bruce Murphy reported. He said we should be especially proud that we reduced voter turnout among blacks and Latinos in the Milwaukee area by something like 37,000 votes. Well, given our history of vicious, racist voter suppression, to have a guy bragging about it, I mean, what's worse, you know, doing the voter suppression against blacks and Latinos or boasting about it? And here Robert Spindell did both.
Yeah, in a fundraising campaign letter, as a matter of fact.
Well, just disgraceful.
Well, yes, it is. But, you know, I guess, are we too reliant on Dane County? I mean, Dane County's a fastest growing county. It's the only the whole state economy pretty much is generated by a lot of the activity in Dane County. But that at the expense of the rural areas also. You know, Charlie brought up the whole Van Orden versus Pfaff race. It appears that the Democratic Party is not, I don't want to say that they've given up on rural Wisconsin, but it almost looks like they've given up on rural Wisconsin. Is that a good strategy, Matt? You've been around the state.
Yeah,
you tell me.
I don't think it's a good strategy, but I'm not sure that is Ben Wickler's strategy. I mean, he's made tremendous inroads in Waukesha County, for instance, in Washington County, in Ozaukee County. I mean, those counties voted more Democratic than last time. So he's making moves in the suburbs, too. And I've been to some of the rural Democratic Party county events and spoken at them, and you know, I'm sure they would want more support from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin than they're getting, but they're getting some support, and there are other good groups working in rural areas, including, you know, the Wisconsin Farmers Union is a tremendous organization.
Yes.
It's not, you know, Democrat or Republican, but they are talking to their people in ways that would move a lot of people toward a more progressive perspective on a whole range of issues. So I think there are other folks doing that work as well. Citizen Action is doing some of the work too. And so I think there are a lot of groups not giving up on rural Wisconsin. We can't give up on rural Wisconsin. We got to start convincing people. We can't just huddle here in Madison and in Milwaukee and say, you know, we're here in a nice little cocoon and we like it here, and all those other people we don't even want to talk to.
Well, not to mention there are local races in those rural areas that are very important also in the overall state politics.
Yeah, and one of the problems, I was just up in Wausau and I talked to some friends who were on the Wausau, on the Marathon County Board. And, you know, those Republicans, they get out and vote, and they dumped all the progressives who were on the Marathon County mm-hmm. Board. So now the crazies are in control of Marathon County.
That happened in Oneida and up there in Lincoln County also, especially in the Merrill area. A bunch of folks who had been on the town board for 10 years or so, their whole slate lost. Not only that, because the Republicans actually went out and they made a conscious effort. They started a Young Republicans Club up there in the last 5 years. They're moving. They're
doing it's not just the Young Republicans. The Koch brothers, their Americans for Prosperity organization, which spends a ton in elections, they now are putting up brick and mortar buildings in towns all over Wisconsin, and they're going door to door and doing the old grassroots work that we used to think we did better than they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there needs to be important investments into rural organizing. Also, there's you know, some change in the media landscape, too, with some progressive stations being bought up all across rural Wisconsin. So that's an exciting thing.
Right. And, well, we're going to be speaking with Kirk Bankstad from Monaco Brewing Company in just a minute here. So we'll kind of find out what kind of stuff he's been up to. All right. Well, Matt Rothschild, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, give him hell at that Wisconsin Elections Committee meeting. Is it open to the public or what?
It's open to the public. So, you know,
it's a Zoom. It's not in person or what?
It's a Zoom. Yeah. I signed up for a public comment. And so I hope they'll call my name. I'll give them my 2 minutes.
All right. And what are they meeting on? It's just
It's one of their regular, I think, quarterly meetings. One something on the docket is an administrative rule that they're considering about what the rules should be for election observers, how close they can come to, you know, the election workers, how close they can come to the voters, you know, what is safe for voters, you know, because Republicans wanted to interfere last time around, this big thing, send as many people as you can to be an election observer and question every ballot you can.
I was down in the Racine area observing, going to the various places and seeing. So it, and surprisingly, though, I mean, they expected trouble because they're the people down there, the sheriff guy in their group, I forgot, you know, there are people from True the Vote, that Texas-based thing, and they were like, oh, we're going to be there. But actually, it was more bluster than anything. They did not do anything. They looked bored sitting in their little observing squares. So, yeah, no trouble.
Well, I hope that continues. But closing, I just want to encourage people to vote on February 21st for Wisconsin Supreme Court and April 4th. Come out and vote on that. There's also a mayoral race, you know, on April 4th. You're going to vote on that, too.
Yes, you do. All right, Matt Rothschild, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Thanks a lot for coming down, man. Isn't it good to be here live? Right?
Great to see you, Tony. Just like old times.
All right.